Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the Illegal Curve post-game podcast. I'm your host for today, Michael Remus, filling in for Drew Mandel. I'm here high above the ice surface at MTS Center, where the Winnipeg Jets were just defeated by the New York Rangers by a final score of 4-2.
Emptied out pretty quick in here tonight, too. The press box and the stands.
And we'll get into that later, but let's start from the beginning. I mean, coming into the game, the Rangers, they played last night in Minnesota, playing back-to-back games. This is a must-win game for the Jets, and the Jets really, you know, if they have any hope, any chance at all, the very slim chance that there is, but we are saying that there is a chance to make the playoffs. They, you know, absolutely needed to get 2 points here, and they just didn't do that tonight.
Yeah, you know, they didn't play a terrible game, Michael. I mean, they didn't score. Not as good as the Colorado game, but a similar idea of not playing that poorly and still losing the game. But it's more of a desperation thing. I felt a little bit more of a desperation in the Colorado game, and I probably based on the fact that they're further out of it now than they were then. But there wasn't really that desperation. You never really felt that from the team. Nobody was into it. The team wasn't into it. The crowd wasn't into it. And I thought that was pretty evident for the most part. You know, again, sloppy play and bad decisions. We can talk all about, you know, overall play of the game was pretty good, but it's just stupid decisions, it's stupid times that have cost the Jets. And goals before the ends of periods, goals after goals are scored for, goals against immediately after, the timing of these goals. And being able to count on more than a couple guys to create any form of offense has been an issue as well. And the storyline continues, and not surprisingly, it hasn't really changed.
Yeah, and I totally agree with you. I mean, we're going to talk about this a bit later, but it does seem like a bit of a broken record where they play well. I thought we thought that they didn't play poorly, but they weren't able to score, and they gave up another goal with 10 seconds left. And the thing about this game that killed them was, you know, that one mistake. And if you make mistakes against a good team like the Rangers, they're going to capitalize on those.
I was impressed with the Rangers tonight, and I agree with you, Michael. I was impressed with them tonight. I thought they played a nice game. There's some talent on that roster, and you know, the Jets met a team today that was able to capitalize, as you said, on their mistakes. And you know, when you play some of the teams in the league who aren't as good, you'll get away with that. But you can't get away with that against good teams, and that's the thing about, you know, when we were forecasting the Jets' chances, they had to take advantage of their easier schedule, and now you're getting into the hard part, and things aren't looking too pretty.
Yeah, and let's just go through the game here. We'll do a little recap. You know, it started off at the beginning of the game. Blake Wheeler appeared to beat out an icing, at least what I thought. Maybe there was some confusion about amongst the referees.
Well, we've seen, I agree that he beat it out, but you've seen, how many times in this arena have you seen the guy beating him out and it's still being called icing?
Yeah.
It's a safety precaution, and while I didn't like that call, it happens a lot.
Yeah. Fair enough. And then the faceoff goes down into the Jets' defensive zone. Brad Richards wins it, and it goes back to the point and tipped in by Benoit Pouliot. And it was really just like a fluttering tip in the air that went over the shoulder of Andre Pavlik.
Yeah, I mean, it was, but the goal was eventually changed, Michael, to Carl Hagelin.
Oh, sorry. I have an old game
yeah,
sheet.
Yeah, but Pouliot was the one who actually we thought originally tipped it. And Hagelin, obviously, the first of a few more. You know, not really a fault on this play, Mike. You know, Richards wins a draw. You know, it is what it is when you sometimes you'll get the draw, sometimes you won't. It's a surprising one that he wins it against, you know, Jim Slater's one of the better face-off men, especially on Slater's strong side. But Richards wins a draw. The puck gets put on net, and, well, I guess they're saying Pouliot and Hagelin. Well, that's interesting. Anyhow, the puck gets put on net, tipped, apparently twice it was tipped. And the puck's in the net. So, I mean, you're not going to really blame Andre Pavlik for that goal. Coverage on that play, sure, takeaway sticks. But when you're tipping the puck out of the air, how do you really take away the stick? That's just one of those goals where, hey, it goes in. There's really nobody to fault on it. If you're looking for fault on the Jets, I don't think you can really find it. And they're down 1-0.
Yeah, and then the Jets, but you got to give them credit here.
Yeah,
you know,
sure.
It was a bit over a minute later. You know, I thought the Jets, they did have good position, you know, along the most of it was along the perimeter of, yeah, of the Rangers' offensive zone, and that was the thing. But this was the one play where Wheeler was able to, you know, they worked around Buffalo and Wheeler on the boards. They were going back to the defense. Wheeler gets a shot from the left faceoff dot, about maybe the top of it after curling. And Bufflin does what he does best. He gets in the goalie's face in front, tips the puck once, gets up in the air, and he bats it in. It was a great play and a great comeback, you know, from, you know, sorry, well, he came back, yeah, responded right away.
And I think another note is that you do it against the Rangers' best defensive pairing in Dan Girardi and Ryan McDonough, who logged significant minutes tonight, over, you know, significantly over 20 minutes. Nobody on the team on New York otherwise did play over that amount, and that kind of goes to our conversation on NHL Midweek last night about how Tortorella uses his bench as opposed to Vino, who really spreads it out. But Girardi gets caught high here, and he gets caught high in the zone, Michael. Bufflin gets in deep, and Girardi's chasing. And so Girardi is on the other side of Bufflin, and you know as well as I do, nobody wants to be on the other side of Dustin Bufflin. Nope. Ryan McDonough doesn't really know if he should help on Bufflin or if he should stay home, meaning stay with his guy to the left. He didn't really come in. I can't blame him. And Bufflin had an opportunity in front, as you said, went to the net, was relatively unimpeded, and pops in the goal. So, you know, nice work, nice shift, nice sustained pressure there, nice goal.
Yeah, that goal coming a minute and 18 seconds after the Rangers' first marker. And then just under a minute later, Andrew Ladd gets the puck on his left wing, walks in, takes the curl, drag wrist shot that he's known for, a very quick release, and squeaks it in under the right shoulder of Henrik Lundqvist. Just a great shot off the bar and in, and next thing you know, the Jets are up 2-1.
Short side. I don't think Lundqvist lets that in another 8 out of 10 times. That's never in the net. But beautiful shot. And as you said, Ladd has a good wrist shot. Lundqvist shut the door after that, though. He made some brilliant saves.
Yes.
But that was a really nice play by Frolik. Frolik pressures in the offensive zone. The puck comes out to the neutral zone. Frolik comes and pressures again. They end up getting the puck. Frolik goes quick pass to Little. Little goes quick pass to Ladd. Ladd has speed, comes down the ice, takes a shot from not the worst angle, but just it's a goal that Lundqvist shouldn't have let in. We'll talk about one that Pavlik shouldn't have let in, or Montoya, excuse me, shouldn't have let in later. But just great pass, great passing. You don't always see that from the Jets, making a play there. Frolik to Little to Ladd right in the net.
Yeah, just a great shot. Andrew Ladd.
I should note, by the way, that the play is made by when Frolik makes the pass to Little, Michael, what happens is Stroman bites on Little, and Little has great vision there and gets the puck right to his left to Ladd, and Ladd comes up the ice, and Stroman, as the right defenseman, had bit on Little, so Ladd is clear to go for that shot.
Yeah, that's Ladd's 19th of the year in his 600th career game.
Wow.
In the NHL. I mean, we talk about Andrew Ladd. He's missed, I think, one game in the last six seasons. So talk about durability and being an Iron Man. But the Jets lead, didn't last too long. Later on, 11:28 into the first period. The Rangers are breaking out of their own end. Dan Girardi gets it to Derek Stepan, basically in the middle of the Rangers' own end, who puts it up the left boards. And this was kind of an odd bounce. It went behind Bogosian and Chris Kreider. And Kreider gets the puck and has, you know, a partial breakaway on the left side and lets a shot go. And then a short side shot and goes under the arm of Andre Pavlik.
Yeah, so there's the goal. That's the one I was talking about there. Not a good goal by Pavlik, similar to the fact that it wasn't a good goal by Lundqvist. Although I think Ladd's shot was better than Kreider's. I think Kreider was pretty good today. But you mentioned it, Michael. Breakout through the middle of the ice. Nice pass. Kind of, you know, that was a pass to Kreider there. And Bogosian's a little bit too aggressive. Now, this goal's on Pavlik, so I'm just going to say that from the beginning. But Bogosian's a little bit too aggressive on Kreider. He's got to be aware. Bogosian's a beautiful skater, but he's got to be aware that Kreider can skate with him. Maybe even outskate him. I don't know. I think they're probably very similar in their speed. Bogosian gets a little bit too aggressive. Kreider gets a little bit of room. And Bogosian's got to turn. He's got to do inside lane, turn, boom, come back. And he was going to probably be able to cut down the angle, but he gave Kreider enough time that he was able to rip that shot.
I thought Bogosian, at first glance, you thought Bogosian could catch up to him there, but I thought he took, I don't know if he took a weird angle.
Once he got beat, that's what happened. He got beat. He didn't take a bad angle. Well, I mean, once Kreider had the puck, but you're right. the angle that he took to the original play,
right,
or not taking the body or not taking a step back, was bad. It was a bad angle. Yeah, absolutely. And once he was recovering, I mean, that's all he could do. But it's on the original play. You see Kreider. Why would you go at him? You know how quick he is, makes movies by you. Take a step away, leave a little bit of a gap, be physical with him, or at least take two steps back. And then being able to close the gap with your skating.
Yeah, the puck was coming coming towards him, and he took a step up
when
he should have been.
That's right.
When we thought he should have been retreating.
He had a bad game.
Yeah.
He wasn't good tonight.
Wasn't good today. Well, that's the first period. The Jets had one power play for each team. No goals on that. But the Jets go in to the second period and we're tied 2-2. You'd like to be ahead 2-1, but going in, the game is, it's a close game. Both teams are having their chances. But they're tied. And then, coming back from the second, Al Montoya starts the game, to everyone's surprise. We weren't sure if Andrei Pavlik was pulled, but he wasn't on the bench, didn't return to the bench all game. And Sarah Leski reported on Twitter later that, shortly after that, Andrei Pavlik had a lower body injury.
Yeah, well, upper, lower, 50-50 shot. I don't know what happened there. I didn't really see him laboring at all, but usually better caught on the TV almost. You get a better look at if he's wincing and all that stuff. Anyhow, Montoya came in. Nothing special from either of those guys tonight. If you're campaigning for either goalie, you weren't especially impressed.
Right, I would agree. I mean, we'll talk about this later, but I thought Montoya let in a goal by Carl Hagelin. That was pretty much from the exact same spot that Chris Kreider shot.
That's why I said both those guys. Exactly. You're exactly right. There's a five hole, too, I believe.
So. Carl Hagelin's second.
He was off angle. He fell once, too. He didn't look that sharp tonight, and maybe he's coming in relief, but...
Yeah.
Both, I mean, the cries from Montoya, I think, are a tad unfounded. I mean, don't get me wrong, he's played really well when he's had the chance, but, I mean, he's not the second coming of Henrik Lundqvist.
Right, I mean, it's either 1A or 1B. I mean, there's not much. How big is the difference there between those two guys? But, I mean, the Jets played a nice period. I mean, they had a few chances. Setoguchi had a pass to Kane in front where, his hands just... Sometimes Evander Kane's hands can't catch up to his skates. Chris Thorburn blocked a shot and then left the game, didn't return. Toby Enstrom made a nice play but fell over a diving Rangers defender, and he left briefly. And the one thing about that is that you see these guys diving down to block shots. If a defender dives down and I'm skating and I trip over them, is that not tripping? I wouldn't have argued if they would have called a penalty on that.
I guess it's based on intent, which not every tripping call really is based on. I mean, you always mean to trip the guy, but I guess that those cases are more so intent. But I see your point there.
I mean, you can't...
The one issue, I guess, would be if somebody skates up to the guy on purpose and follows him, and he's like, well, you tripped me.
Yeah, well, I mean, you can't lie down the ice and impede a guy's progress. It's maybe a bit of a safety issue, too, you could argue.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, you could argue that it is. I mean, a lot of guys in the NHL now, Michael, don't like to go down because they say once you're down, you're out of the play.
Also true. Well, Toby Enstrom on the Jets, I feel like he goes down...
He goes down quite
a bit. But, I mean, the Jets had a few chances here. I mean, Mark Stewart at one point had a nice pass to Wheeler and in front, and then Slater tried to bang home the rebound. Yeah. He couldn't do. There was a few, these Jets rebounds, they just weren't able to capitalize. And I feel like we've been saying that so many times against Colorado the other day and last game as well.
Yeah, well, they have some good passers in the back end. They're able to get some speed, get some chances, but... Yeah, you're right. They're just not capitalizing on it, and that's a lack of talent up front. I mean, we know that.
Right. Well, the period is winding down. We're in the dying seconds. Looks like the Rangers ice it, but St. Louis, with his great speed, gets to
the puck. Well, Trouba lets it go by in the neutral zone, and I thought that's why they waved it off. But I wasn't sure if it was that or St. Louis being going to be the first there. What did you think?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. You think Trouba's trying to let it by, hoping for an icing there?
Well, just because I thought they had the icing, they had the icing arm up right away.
Yeah,
it wasn't like it wasn't so.
Maybe they thought he could have got to it.
Well, they had it up and then they waved it off, right? Maybe not. Anyhow, keep going.
Yeah, so St. Louis gets the puck, goes around the net, and gives it to a wide open Carl Hagelin. And you talk about a broken record. I mean, how many times have you seen the Jets give up goals or go ahead goals or tying goals? With dying seconds of a period. I feel like this has been going on, since they came into the league in 2011.
There's two problems here, and I agree with what you said. And if you want to argue icing or not, in any event. Trouba traces St. Louis behind the net. Well, I don't know why. Okay?
Yeah.
That's the first problem. Second problem, the bigger problem, frankly, is that Zach Bogosian basically goes into the corner of the crease at St. Louis, who's already being chased by Trouba, doesn't pick up the man behind him with however many seconds left in the period.
Yeah, it was about
Haglund comes in, and it's a nice pass by St. Louis, first of all. I mean, that's a beautiful, skillful pass on his backhand to Carl Haglund. But why Bogosian is so low in the zone and not looking for his man is beyond me. I mean, Trouba chasing is one thing, but Bogosian can't be that low in the zone and not look around for that for help. I mean, is St. Louis going to turn the corner on the backhand? Like, remember, it's on the forehand. He's going on backhand. Is St. Louis going to turn the corner on the backhand, beat Trouba to the spot, maybe uses a long stick, maybe get a chance on the backhand? You can still be another foot over and still take away that shot with your reach. It was a bad read, and it cost him. That was a winning goal.
And that was really the game. The game there. I mean, it was 3-2 at that point. But I mean, going into the third period, I mean, you have to think a lot of the emotion of the building was done. I mean, I was getting texts from my friends. Oh, this is the same old Jets. You talk about how much they changed right after Paul Maurice was hired.
Oh, they're back.
But
Quoten, I was watching, saying, I know this team.
Yeah,
I mean, they're playing better. They're playing better defensively. Yeah. And they're in the games more. I think they're more structured. But it's the same fundamental issues of winning and losing in terms of executing at certain times. I mean, they don't just completely blow apart in 7-2 games, and they don't completely lose their structure. But they can't really score. They do lose focus at times and things like that.
Yeah, and you know what? We can talk about the third period, but that was pretty much the game there. I mean, they had some chances around the net. They outshot the Rangers tonight. 32-23.
Yeah, I mean, the Rangers were up a bit. I don't know what the shots were in the third period there.
It was
10-8 for the Jets. I mean, they get a couple of extra shots. But anyhow, that fourth goal that the Rangers get, Richards comes through the neutral zone. Michael makes the pass to Haglund. You mentioned it. It's on a 3-on-2. The Jets had a bad change there, right?
Because
they had no pressure on the 3-on-2 at all in terms of back pressure, as they call it, or just back checking. And Haglund comes in. Weak goal. Even though there's mistakes, weak goal by Haglund on Montoya. But again, weak goal by Pavlik allowed on Kreider. So two weak goals by the goaltenders tonight on their respective right sides. And we talk all about playing well, not playing well. We've said it. There's no moral victories anymore. But at the end of the season, the team's done now. They're out of it. And now you got to build for next year. And it's going to be interesting to see the way they play. Do they pack it in, or do they play with a little bit of... Because today I thought they played all right. I don't think they played the same vigor that they have in the past games. And it's easy to pack it in. A lot of teams do.
Yeah.
It's hard to play like Calgary out of it all year and actually play hard. So I'm interested to see how this, on a go-forward basis, how does this team play over the last 15 games when they know that they're basically done?
Yeah, and I mean, they had a few chances at the end, but it was the basic... basically, the game was done. It was the classic Jets. You're down... And you kind of, and then try, they always seem to turn it up at the end, but not score. But that was the game tonight. Final Jets 2, Rangers 4 here from MTS Center. The next game is on Sunday against Dallas, who's streaking hard for the playoff spot. But more importantly, tomorrow, Saturday, noon to 3, the Illegal Curve Hockey Show live on TSN 1290. So tune in for that. But... that's it for this evening's Winnipeg Jets postgame podcast. For Richard Pollock and Dave Manuk and Ezra Ginsberg and Drew Mandel, who will be back hosting the Liverpool Curve Hockey Show tomorrow, I'm Michael Remus. Good night and good luck.